Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. This week, the online retail giant Amazon came under fire for what some might describe as a harsh working environment for its employees. A report in the New York Times detailed grueling hours, callous leaders, where workers regularly cry at their desks. Now, this was news to CEO Jeff Bezos, who asked his employees to report any harsh treatment to him directly. Here he is talking to Business Insider last year.
Sometimes people come to the company and they find Amazon very boring because we don't have enough, you know, competitive zeal. You know, we don't wake up. Some annual planning processes and some companies literally start with who are our three biggest enemies. And then, you know, here's how we're going to hold them at bay or defeat them. And we don't have such a list at Amazon.
They do, however, have an online system that lets employees critique each other directly to management. One employee called it the place where overachievers go to feel bad about themselves. Well, here to discuss this are Patty McCord, who worked as the chief talent officer for Netflix for 14 years and is now a consultant in Silicon Valley, and Nikki Waller, the management and careers editor at The Wall Street Journal. And Patty, you've worked in the tech industry at a company that is known for how well it treats its employees. Were you surprised when you read this story?
Somewhat, and then somewhat not. I mean, and you're probably familiar with the website Glassdoor. And if you scoured Glassdoor of any company with 150,000 employees, it would be pretty easy to find 150 of them who are not very happy. And I think that there's truth in the unhappiness, but I think that if you scoured Amazon's 150,000 employees to find 150 people that were gloriously happy, you'd be able to find them.
Nikki, is this all kind of a matter of degrees, that what we have here at Amazon exists in other companies maybe to the same amount or in a smaller degree in different industries?
I think what exists at Amazon, and I'm sure Patty could concur, you find at a lot of tech companies. There's a reason that companies have free lunches and perks and reasons for you to stay in the office, because often the workload is such that you need to be there, especially for those who are in a time of high growth.
Well, I'd also interject, there's also the ability in most tech companies to be working and not be there. So because we're all so connected, like I tend to disagree with the fact that our devices tether us to work. I think our devices free us to work in a lot of different places.
But isn't there a danger then that companies can expect you to work whenever they want you to work, and that it's harder to make that balance between work and life?
Sure, but that's something we need to learn how to do as adults and as workers. You know, and so you need to choose the company that you work with and that you work for somewhat based on what their pace is like, what their work life is like, and what your personal needs are. And you're going to be working at different companies at different times in your life because of that kind of pace.
To Patty's point, there are two opposite trends happening right now. And on the one hand, because your work can come with you anywhere, you are technically on duty all the time, but I think you also see a lot of leaders and companies are thinking hard about how being on email all the time is affecting workers. And you'll see, I've heard about division leaders at Google who have said to everyone on their team, listen, if you don't have to send an email on the weekend, don't do it. And these are people who lead huge teams. You're also seeing with the overtime debate coming in that now companies have to look at, in some cases, whether or not their employees are using their smartphones after hours to respond to email, and they might be on the hook for paying people for that.
Nikki, when you look at the way that Amazon is being described, at least in this particular story, do you think it epitomizes where we're going in some direction with the ability to track people constantly with their data and what they're actually performing, this sort of desire to just really burn through people and get as much out of them as possible, and some make it and some don't? Or are we going in a different trend, in a different direction?
Amazon is probably the extreme example of where companies are going. You are seeing more data coming into the workplace to manage performance. We are all going to get used to some kind of metrics, and that is filtering in more quickly at some companies, a little bit more slowly in others. But performance management is becoming an ever hotter topic at companies all across the board. With this kind of data available, companies can't not use it.
I'm personally am not that big of a fan of all of this data that we're using to track people. I think it's going to turn out to not be very useful. But I think it's a good way to experiment a little bit with, you know, trying to understand how we can use data to think about our companies. I don't see anything wrong with more frequent feedback. I think it's a really great trend, and I think it's going to help us all be, you know, more engaged in the work that we do. I don't know that software is going to substitute, you know, real person-to-person feedback.
If we who don't work at a company like Amazon or any of these companies that really push their employees really hard hear about these kind of stories and react with, oh my gosh, it's what a horrible place to work, do we though as customers bear some degree of responsibility? Because when it comes to a place like Amazon, Patty, we like getting stuff same day delivered. We like the cheap prices. I mean, is this part of that, that we all have a role in it?
Sure. I mean, it's been part of capitalism since we, you know, automated building cars, right? All of these things go through phases too. If it's a very labor intensive work environment, oftentimes over time, those labor intensive jobs become more automated.
We are in an era where everything is magic. You know, I can open up my phone and summon a car at the tap of my finger, and that comes with some consequences too. You know, you look at Uber and the labor model, and these are not full-time employees, and how do you feel about that? And that's something that goes into that one swipe of summoning a car or a food delivery or something like that. And, you know, Amazon is kind of a similar way, is that with a package that gets to your door the next day, it's not yet magic yet, and it's not yet automated, and it takes, as we saw from the story and as we've seen from all the reporting on Amazon, it takes an incredible amount of human effort to make that happen. Maybe people would have reacted differently if this was a story about a company that was a year or two old and it was a startup. And we expect some of this stuff at a startup. And I think one of the revelations is that Amazon was running at this breathless pace that we're more used to seeing for a company that's not 20 years old, but one that's maybe 2 years old.
Well, Patty McCord, the former chief talent officer at Netflix, and Nikki Waller with The Wall Street Journal, thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.